open with a word of prayer this morning. Our Father, we ask you now to take this time and use it in our lives to build us up. I'm so happy as I look out and see all the faces of the women coming together, Lord, to study your word. Thank you for the sweetness of our fellowship. Thank you for the beautiful Bible that is ours to behold, to handle, the word of life that gives us direction, teaches us how to live, leads us. And I thank you for what we're going to learn this morning. And Father, just do what only you can do. Take your word and illuminate it to our hearts that we might be women who are living on mission for you in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just loving our study out of our book, Learning Contentment. And I've had so many of you share that you are too. And I'm so happy about that. Last week was spring break. Not only was it spring break, but we had the big time change. And not only was it a time change, I think it was raining. Wasn't that right? It was like bad weather. And so, of course, chapter 5 was the chapter we were on. It's my favorite chapter. To me, it's the key to the whole book. And so, here we were, all of those issues. Our crowd was very small. So this morning, we're going to linger in chapter 5 a little bit because it had some scripture that I really wanted to teach you. And I mentioned this last week. And so, let's start by looking at a verse that the name of this chapter is the mental trap. The mental trap. And I think you will agree with me that our thinking is very important, right? Because look on your handout. Look at that proverb out of Proverbs 23. For as a woman thinks in her heart, so is she. For as a man or a woman thinks in their heart, I've always heard doctrine leads to duty. What you believe about God, what you believe about the Bible, leads to your duty, how you're going to live your life. That's why learning scripture is so important. I've got to understand theology so that I can walk it out. I can't walk out what I don't know, you see. And so one of the main ways we can resist the temptation of discontentment is to pay attention to what we're thinking by guarding our minds. Now that brings me to another proverb that I want to bring to your attention. Look at it on your handout. Proverbs, I think, is it 24? 4, 23, yes. Above all else, this is what the wisest person in the world said. Above everything in your life. Well, what is the most important? Let's see what he says. Above all else, you need to guard your heart. Now, to a Jew, the heart was the seat of his mind, his thinking. You've got to guard your mind, for everything you do flows from it. Now, that's an interesting verse. Now, one thing that Nancy goes into in our book that I think is just an excellent analogy is the fact that we enjoy going dumpster diving in our thinking. And if you've read that chapter, you know what I'm talking about. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning a surefire way to destroy contentment is to allow your mind to go dumpster diving. Now, what's in that dumpster, Teresa? Well, it's filled with all kinds of things that are not very clean. It would include all your past mistakes and all your past sins and all your past failures and things that are not true, things that are unjust, unlovely, unkind. Maybe it's filled with sins of others that have been done against you. Maybe it's full of bitternesses that you have, that you're nurturing, your worries, lust. And I'm just going to say this morning, if you want to be a contented woman, dumpster diving has got to go. It's got to go. Now, I introduced a little illustration to you last week that's on your handout. And I love this little illustration because it helps us to understand ourselves. And I've taught it many, many times in Sunday school, but let's refresh our memory. And it's that we are a three-part person. That is what makes us different from animals. Animals are not three parts. And let me show you what I mean. Look, at, for example, Teresa, where do you get that idea? Well, just go to 1 Thessalonians 5, and you'll see there he's praying that the God of peace would sanctify you entirely, all of you. And what does that include? Well, it's your spirit, your soul, and your body. I'm praying for you that all three of those will be preserved complete at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are a spirit. Now, that's the part of us that is created in the image of God. That's what makes us different from the animal kingdom. You're not an animal. You are a being that's been created in the image of God. You are an eternal being. Your dog is not eternal. I hate to tell you. Somebody said, well, your dog went to heaven. No, they didn't. Animals live, they die, they have a purpose, but people, we are created in the image of God, and God is spirit, and God, he breathed into man, it says in Genesis. He breathed spirit into man. And so we are spirit. That's who we are. That's the part of us that is eternal. And then we have a soul. That's the seat of our mind, our thinking, our will, our decisions, and our emotions. Now, when I am born again, look at that little girl on your handout. What part of you becomes brand new? Instantly, it's your spirit. Did you know that you were born dead in your spirit? You were part of just the walking dead, according to Ephesians 2. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. But when you came alive in Christ, your spirit was reborn. And look, that spirit was like if you took a hippopotamus and you changed it into a giraffe. Totally changed. A metamorphosis. And you were born again. Now your mind is a little different. It has to be transformed. You have to take your mind, your soul, to the Word of God and let it get restored. But your spirit, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You're ready to go with, be with the Lord. But your mind has to go through a process. That is why coming to Sunday school, learning the Word of God is so key in our lives. Because my mind has to learn to think biblically. And I can't think biblically if I don't know the Bible, right? So I have to get in the Word of God and let it transform my thinking. And then we live in this body of flesh. Now, can I just tell you, this is where the rub comes in the Christian life. And we have an enemy, ladies. And the flesh is the enemy to our spirit. You have three enemies, actually. The world, the flesh, and the devil. But your flesh does not want to walk under the Spirit of God. See, you're new. You're born again. Your heart wants to follow God. Now, do you experience this in your life? You have a heart that says, yes, I want to pray. Yes, I want to study the Bible. Yes, I want to be faithful in coming to church. Yes, I want to know God's word. But then you live in this old stinky body of flesh, and the flesh doesn't like it. He doesn't want to discipline himself. Do you experience that in your life all the time? You're lazy. You're tired. You don't want to take the time. And so you've got a conflict there. Now, if you'll understand that, it'll help you in your spiritual life. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are to walk by the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yeah, your body has lust. It lusts and hungers after the wrong things. But my spirit also hungers and thirsts after God. And so I have to learn to walk by the Spirit. Now, who did all of this work? This is what we're going to talk about. It's the Holy Spirit that did this. The Holy Spirit brought about the new birth in me. And as soon as I was born again, guess who moved in right to that heart of mine? It was the Holy Spirit of God. He's in me. He's given me new desires. He's given me new hungers. And I have to learn to walk by that Spirit and say no to my flesh. And it is a battle that's going to go on, listen to me, until I get out of this body, which will happen at my death. I'll be released from that battle. Teresa, when is it going to be over? When is this conflict? Why can't I do what I want to do? It's because you're living in this body of flesh. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Yeah, you're going to mess up. But I have to learn to cooperate with the Spirit of God who is in me. Now, the real me longs and desires to serve God. So this morning, I want to take the scripture that Nancy mentions in our book, and I want to teach it to you a little bit in order to give your minds understanding, in order to renew your minds. It comes out of Romans chapter 8. Now, a long time ago, when I first started teaching Thursday morning Bible study, I've been teaching it now for over 30 years. But when I first started, I was not a very good teacher, and I didn't know a lot about the Bible. But I decided to teach Romans in Thursday morning Bible study. And when I got to chapter 8 of Romans, I felt like, as I was studying that chapter, that I was born again, born again. Have you ever felt like that? I was studying this chapter. I was learning so many things I did not know. My mind was getting renewed. And it was just absolutely wonderful. You see, every Christian should know chapter 8 and know it very well, because more than any other chapter in the Bible, it details the glorious, gracious work of the Holy Spirit for those who are saved. Now, the Spirit has two great works in our lives, so I want you to write this down on your handout. First of all, the Holy Spirit, He sanctifies us. So that's the first thing I want you to know. That's His job. Yeah, that's His job. Now, can I just free you a little bit this morning? You cannot make yourself holy. Mm-mm, you can't do it. Try as hard as you can in your flesh. You cannot do it. But God gives the Holy Spirit in our lives, and the Holy Spirit takes responsibility for sanctifying us. Now, what does that big word sanctify mean? It just means making you holy. Making you holy. And then the second great work he does is to bring us all the way to glory. And so we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 8. And before he goes any further, he's going to give us some very good news. Because you know what? I mess up, do you? And sometimes I worry, oh gosh, I messed up again. God's mad at me. I know God's mad at me. Oh, no, did I lose my salvation? Am I really saved? Do you ever ask these kind of questions of yourself? And so you see right off the bat, look what it says. This is my favorite verse, probably, today. Verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, let's just start out first on our handout by writing this. The Holy Spirit places us in a no condemnation status before God. And He does it because we're in Christ. We've been born again. That Spirit has been transformed. That is to say, if you're in Christ, if you've been saved, if you're born again, you are totally secure. Your salvation is forever. Now, this gives us confidence. This encourages our hearts, even in our struggles in our lives. That no condemnation reality, it is secured to us, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit to do that. He gives us life. He sets us free from judgment. Now, here's the next thing he does, and I want you to write it down. The Holy Spirit frees us from sin and death. Write that on your handout. Because you see, when you were born in the likeness of Adam. And that means that you were a sinner. You were a sinner from the time you were little. Nobody had to teach you how to lie. Nobody had to teach you how to fight with your siblings. That just came natural, right? Because you were born a sinner with a bent toward sin. And you were also born under the curse, which means you were born sentenced to eternal death. But look what it says in verses 2 and 3 of Romans 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Now, we're going to take that apart. Those two verses tell us that one of the great works of the Holy Spirit in bringing us to a no condemnation position before God, he was to free us from sin and death. Now go back to verse 3. Do you see there it says in verse 3, the law could not save us. I remember as a little girl, a big thing for me as a little girl, they had the little Ten Commandment bracelets. And that's telling on my age. How many of you remember the little Ten Commandment bracelets? And they was just a little bracelet, like a charm bracelet, had all the Ten Commandments. Anybody? Thank you, somebody. And you always got that for your birthday at the birthday party. And so early on, we learned God's law. And not only did we learn it just because we had a bracelet, but you know what? Romans tells us it's been written on our hearts and our conscience. We were born with a knowing murder is wrong, lying is wrong, stealing is wrong. Our conscience told us the same thing. We knew we couldn't keep it, could we? But there it is. That's God's standard. If anybody's going to come into my heaven, perfection. You've got to keep the law perfectly. And there that law is, it just stands there as a divine and holy and totally unattainable standard, which just smashes us because it is holy, it is righteous, it is good, but I am not. I cannot keep it perfectly. And the sad reality is I have messed up so many times. That makes me think of a little Bible school song we sang a few years ago, Sin Messed Everything Up. And it really did. I've broken it over and over. And you know what? I can't be good enough to earn God's favor. And then go back to verse 3. There it says, we are weak in the flesh. Boy, is that an understatement. We just cannot deliver ourselves from condemnation to a no condemnation status, can we? Well, what can help us? We'll go back and look at verse 2. It says the principle or the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Who is the Spirit of life? Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. He's the one who can set us free from the law of sin and death. He is the one who steps in. And let's write down what he does. First of all, he convicts. He convicts us. He convicts us of our helplessness, our impotence as we stand before a holy God guilty. There's no question about it. I stood before God. I was totally guilty. I make myself sound so bad, and I really was a pretty sweet girl. But before God, I was totally guilty. If you've broken one commandment, the Bible says you are guilty of breaking them all. So first thing he does is shows you you're guilty and you're a sinner and you're helpless and you're hopeless in yourself. And then next, he produces within our hearts repentance. Now, what is repentance? It's godly sorrow. And it results in this repentance. Repentance, that word means I'm going to turn around. I'm going to do something different. I'm making a change. My heart is turning to God. I'm crying out to God. God, have mercy on me. All of this is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit of God. And then thirdly, he grants us a gift. And it's the gift of faith. So write that in the blank. He gives us faith as a gift to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, you don't even have it in yourself to have faith in God. It's a gift. It's a gift given to you by the Holy Spirit. And then he regenerates us. Now, that's just a theological word. That just means I'm born again. I'm completely changed. And the new birth is such a mystery. It is a miracle. And I want to tell you this morning, you owe your salvation to the work of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is all of his doing. He is the agent of the new birth. Now go back to verse 3 again, because I want you to see how he does it. Teresa, how does he do this? Well, it says, for what the law could not do. See, the law could not save us. It showed us what God required, but it couldn't save us, could it? It just smushed us. It says, weak as it was through the flesh, then it says, God did. What the law could not do, God did. Well, God, what did you do? Well, you sinned by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Now listen very carefully, and I want you to write this down. It is done. Salvation comes by substitution. Substitution. Now here are the facts that we've learned. I cannot please God in my flesh. Would you agree with me? And I cannot keep his law. Would you agree with me? And I'm under eternal and very severe condemnation. Would you agree with me? And there's no way for me to get out unless somebody comes to the rescue. Would you agree with me? And Jesus came into the world in the likeness of sinful flesh. That is to say, he came as a man. He wasn't sinful, but he came as a man. And the Bible tells us he was separate from sinners. He was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled. And guess what he did? He took our place. He willingly offered himself. He laid himself down, and he himself paid the penalty for sin. And that penalty, what is the wages of sin? What is it? It's death. And he condemned sin in his flesh as he died on the cross. And it was that great and mighty work that he did which made it possible. Now, he was my substitute. He was your substitute. He died the death I deserved. He died the death you deserved. And it was that great and mighty work that he did which made it possible for us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be delivered from the principle, the law of sin and death, because he was our substitute. I'm studying this at home. And I just said, oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Do you feel that in your heart this morning? How can we sit here unmoved? Look what Jesus did for us. He rescued us. He rescued us. Oh, thank you, blessed Jesus. Now let's go back to our handout and write one more thing. Because next, after he saves us, we see the Holy Spirit enables us to fulfill God's law. He gives me the power to do what I could not do. That is the wonderful truth that we see in verse 4. Now go to verse 4 with me. So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Wow. You see, the incredible reality of the Holy Spirit's work is that he gives us the righteousness of God that comes when a person perfectly fulfills the law. You know what he does?
He gives you another gift. You know what that gift is? It's righteousness. What is God's standard? Righteousness. Perfection. You don't have it, do you? And so you know what the Holy Spirit does? He gives it to you. It is a gift. So write that on your handout. You become righteous in Christ. Now here's what God did on the cross. He took your unrighteousness, look carefully, he put it on Christ. And then he took Christ's righteousness and put it on you. Now that makes me want to do a holy jig. I'm so happy. I mean, ladies, get excited. Salvation is such good news. It's such good news. Now, that brings us to number 4 on our handout. And I want you to write it down. The Holy Spirit changes our nature. Now, we're going to go see this in verse 4b. That's the second part. The Holy Spirit changes our nature. Who do not walk, 4b says, according to the flesh. But now how are we going to walk? I've been saved. I'm not going to walk according to the flesh anymore. How am I going to walk? According to, tell me, the Spirit. Thank you. Get involved here. So write this down. You've been delivered from the condemnation that we deserved. And we've been given the righteousness of Christ as a gift. Those two things are judicial acts. It's like a judge is sitting on the bench and he takes his big gavel and he pounds it on the table. And this is what he says. You're righteous. You're not guilty. You're not condemned. No more condemnation. You are free. You are free. Those are declarations made by God based purely on the merits of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then comes this new walk that is expressed here at the end of verse 4. This is where you and I get involved. Now, what do we do, Teresa? Well, we do not walk according to the flesh. So, write this down. The new birth will give you a new walk. A new walk. Now, I want to tell you something, ladies. You cannot have the new birth apart from the new walk. They go together. If you've got the new birth, guess what's coming in your life? The new walk. They go together. You cannot walk according to your flesh anymore. Well, are you ready for this? What does this mean, Teresa? Well, this is what this means for you. You cannot go dumpster diving anymore. That's what this means. Oh, yeah, you may go to the dumpster, but guess what the Holy Spirit's going to do? What are you doing in this dumpster? Get yourself out. You set your things on affections above where Christ is seated with God. You are not to get in the dumpster anymore. Your life takes a whole new direction. You're given a whole new nature, a new disposition, a new principle that's working in your life. Now write it down. This process is called sanctification. It begins the moment you're saved. It will not end until you die. And sanctification is the Holy Spirit's job. I'll say it again. It's not that you clean yourself up. You make yourself good. No, no, no. The Spirit is in you. He's doing the work. And I guess what I'm saying is understand this. It's not up to you to be a good girl and a good Christian and work real hard and all of that stuff. No, it's not completely up to you. You do have a part, but the Holy Spirit is your helper. He's our power source. Oh, my gosh, he is a powerful power source. Powerful. You aren't left to do the Christian life on your own, and he's in us, and this is such good news. He's transforming us. He's teaching us. He's guiding and leading and helping us to renew our minds and get out of that old dumpster. And we moved into this whole matter of behavior by one little word that we see in that verse, and it's the word walk. Now, what does that word walk mean? Well, it's speaking of daily conduct, so put that on your handout. And it flows right into verse 5, and this is the verse that I really wanted to get to in my lesson, but I had to go through all those other verses to get here. So look at verse 5. This is the key verse, what I want you to see. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Now, in that one verse, you have a clear distinction between an unbeliever and a believer. Now, stay with me. Let's define who an unbeliever is. He's the one who walks according to the flesh. He sets his mind on the things of the flesh. So write that on your handout. But here comes the believer. The believer walks according to the Spirit. The believer sets his mind on the things of the Spirit. Now listen to what I say. Those who walk according to the flesh do so because that is where their mind is set. And those who walk according to the Spirit do so because that is where their mind is set. And it all comes out of a new kind of thinking compelled by the Holy Spirit of God who's in you now rather than just your fleshly desire. This new thinking process results in a new walk. Your behavior is affected. Now, verse 5 just gives us a truth, a self-evident truth. Look at it on your handout with me. People will live according to how they think. It just is all about where your mind is set. And so when we say a mindset on the Spirit, what are you talking about, Teresa? Well, let's write down a few things. It's talking about this. The Holy Spirit has changed our nature. It means we're alive to the Holy Spirit. It means we're drawn in our hearts to the things of the Spirit. It means I'm going to submit to His direction. It means I'm going to concentrate my attention on whatever is precious to the Holy Spirit. It means I'm going to love what He loves. That is what it means when I say you're going to seek the things of the Spirit. Now, will you still mess up? Oh, yeah. But you know what? That's not the truest expression of who you are. Because how long am I going to be in this flesh? Till I die. So you know what? I have to have that battle. My humanness is still there, but the real me has changed. My longings are different. My longings are toward God. And now it's like a compass. Think of a compass. The compass needle always points to the true north. And now my spirit is like a compass. It's always pointing toward God. It's drawing me to God. I have that in my heart. For the mind set on the flesh is death. Look at verse 6. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Now that's pretty clear what the results are. Let's just write it down. The mind set on the flesh equal death. Under condemnation. But the mind set on the Spirit equals, what were those two words? Life. And what's the other one? Peace. Write that down. And that brings us to how does all of this fit in with our subject, contentment, Teresa? Well, there it is. Contentment is living life and peace as your reality. So write that on your handout. That's what contentment is. Life. What does life mean, Teresa? Well, life just simply means I am alive to God. So write that on your handout. And what about peace? What does that mean? It means I live without fear. Life and peace. Those who set their mind on the things of the Spirit experience contentment, life, peace. Well, does that just mean we're going to enjoy life and have a great big party and things are going to be peaceful all the time? No, 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 no. That's not the idea. The idea is, no, I'm alive to God. I'm alive to His working. I'm alive to His Word. And I don't live in a hostile way. I'm at peace with Him. Life takes on this new blessedness. Look at John 10:10. I am come that you might have life and have it abundantly. He didn't mean I'm going to give a big party and we're going to have a good old time. Although we do have that, right? What he meant was that we have a living communion with God and we share His same life. And we have peace. No more alienation. Now I have fellowship with God. You know what fellowship is, don't you? Two fellows in a ship. God and me together, fellowshipping all through life at peace. That'll never change. God will never cast me out. Never, never, never. What a thought. I'm forever in His eternal hug. I have life. All because of what Jesus did. I have sweet communion. I hear His voice from the pages of Scripture. I long to obey and respond. I long to worship Him and know Him better. I want to serve Him. I'm filled with His grace. I'm overwhelmed by His love. I've been given this permanent peace with God and joy forever. He's not saying you won't be disturbed in life. Let me make sure you understand. You know, Jesus was disturbed about many things in life, and so was Paul. Yes, we may have trouble. In fact, we will have trouble. Let me just go ahead and tell you. But you can count it all joy because that trouble will never change your relationship with God, your peace with God. So who are you, Teresa? Well, I'm a believer. I don't live or walk according to the flesh. I don't mind the things of this flesh. I'm in the Spirit and I'm setting my mind on the things of the Spirit. What are they, Teresa? Look on your handout. Right there in Galatians 5, they're love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And I don't put my mind on the things of the flesh. Well, what are they? Look on your handout. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, and drunkenness, carousal. No, I've got a new disposition. It's not something I earned. It's something I was given by the regenerating, converting, transforming work done in us by the Holy Spirit. The new birth, it is a work of the Holy Spirit. And there I was just living according to the flesh as a young woman. I was lost as all get out. I was dead in trespasses and sins. And then the Holy Spirit came, and He convicted me of my lostness and my need and my guilt. And I was sorrowful, and I turned to God, and I cried out to God, and I asked God to rescue me. Please rescue me. And He brought me to life. He opened my eyes. He changed me. He transformed me. He saved me. And now that's been my reality for almost 50 years. And over those 50 years, He's been growing me and sanctifying me and making me more and more like Jesus. Now, I have a long way to go. But thank God I'm not where I was. And I can just tell you something. I am so content. I am so satisfied with Jesus. And I don't walk according to the flesh. Yeah, I mess up. But my heart and my mind is set on walking according to the Spirit. And you know what the result is? Life and peace. And that equals contentment. That equals contentment. I think I put Isaiah on your handout. For Read it to me because I don't have it written in my notes. For thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. You see, the Bible is so important in your thinking. It's not that you can get yourself out of the dumpster. I wanted you to see. The Holy Spirit has to get you out of the dumpster, girls. You can't do it. You're weak in your flesh. You need to learn to rejoice in who is in you and what he's doing in you. Now, I'm sorry, I did not give you time for small groups this morning. And I told Babs I was afraid I was going to go over. Forgive me for that, because it is important that we process what we're learning. But if you can get these truths under your belt, keep that little picture of that girl in your mind. Spirit, soul, body. Your body's your enemy. Learn to recognize the enemy. So many times the body gets us in trouble and we feel so bad about ourselves. You know what? You don't have to. Learn to put that old body under control of your spirit. And say, I'm not going to walk by the flesh. I picked up a little book at our conference we went to, Truth and Lies. What is the name of that? Truth and Lies? Gretchen, you got it for me. What was the name of it? Truth and Lies, but it was written by Jennifer Rothschild. You know, quit listening to lies. Get in truth. Amen? And the result will be life and peace. Contentment. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you. Thank you for your beautiful word. Thank you for, my goodness, for the Lord Jesus who seated at your right hand, who willingly laid down his life to be my substitute. And then the Holy Spirit came. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to convict, to turn us to God, to bring about the new birth, to sanctify us. Thank you. You'll never let us go. There's no condemnation for us because we're in Christ. And now the result is life, peace. I'm so satisfied with you, Lord Jesus. I'm so satisfied with you, Holy Spirit. And thank you, God, for your eternal plan that made this all possible for us, that we might be redeemed as a bride for our blessed Lord Jesus at his second coming. Now, Father, make us wise women to live our life in such a way that we bring glory and honor, that we're not walking according to the flesh. We're going to be women who walk according to the Spirit. And we're going to set our minds and our affections on things above. And the result will be, we'll be content. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, are you glad you came to Sunday school? Yes. Yes.